A Pod Forte Podcast.
The next CMO podcast explores topics that are on the minds of forward-thinking marketing executives, from leadership and strategy to emerging technologies. And we bring these topics to life by interviewing leading experts in their fields. The next CMO is sponsored by Plano, makers of the world's first AI-based marketing leadership platform, and hosted by me, Peter Mahoney, the founder and CEO of Plano, along with my co-host, Kelsey Kraft. In this episode of the Next CMO podcast, I speak to Jill Khoury, the CMO of HCL Tech, a global leader in tech services that has reached over $12 billion in revenue, over 200,000 global employees. Jill walks us through the significant brand transformation that HCL Tech has gone through, formerly known as HCL Technologies and part of HCL, which is one of the largest companies in India. Jill has an amazing story about how she reached the seat of the CMO, how she thinks about marketing at that scale in a complex environment, managing a team of 500, and her advice for current or future CMOs. I'm sure you'll enjoy this show. Hey, Jill, thank you so much for being on the Next CMO podcast with me today. I'm really excited to talk to you about lots of things, probably most notably the big transition you've gone through at HCL Tech now, if I'm saying that correctly.
Correct.
But, thank you. But it's an important thing to get right. You got to get the company name right, especially for one of this size and scale. But let's start maybe if you can give the listeners just a quick background on you and HCL Tech.
Sure. Might have a little bit of a non-traditional background. I know you've had many guests, nearing 100 guests so far on the show. I actually grew up as a journalism purist. I was a journalism major, very proud to say I was the editor of my college newspaper, and thought I would have a career in print or magazine journalism. And many of my former classmates say I sold out when I went the public relations route. But had the first 10 years of my career at a PR marketing agency, loved that work. It was primarily B2B. And I had the opportunity to end up working for one of my key clients during the dot-com boom. Very exciting time. Unfortunately, my dot-com went bust. But during that time...
Mine did too, Jill. It's okay.
Yeah. It was one of the most exciting times in my career. And actually, some of the work that I've done around this HCL Tech brand transformation felt like that same time, and when we'll get to that. But while the dot-com era was starting to go bust, Accenture seized the moment. It was Anderson Consulting at the time, and they recruited me among thousands of others who were being displaced. And I thought it would be a landing spot for me for a year or two. I had grown up working for a couple of small companies, really enjoying the entrepreneurial environment. And I ended up staying there for 14 years. It was a great time in my career. I left to go to JLL, Jones Lang LaSalle, large global commercial corporate real estate company, a bigger fish in a smaller pond opportunity for me to be the CMO of the Americas. And 7 years later, I got a call from a recruiter. It was during the throes of COVID. And I took the call. And it was a fairly long process for me to vet and really do some soul searching on whether or not I wanted to leave an amazing company and jump into HCL Technologies. But I really do feel like I put the right amount of thought into it, understood the opportunity. It was truly an opportunity that most CMOs don't get in their careers to lead a wholesale transformation. And I like a challenge. I'm very intellectually curious. I like fixing things if they're broken. And I jumped in head first and haven't looked back since. And it's been about 15, 16 months since I joined. So that is a very short view of my 30 plus years of experience across my career.
Great. And clearly, Jill started when she was about five. That's fantastic. I've also had that tenure. I think I just passed the 35 years in my professional career. And interestingly, I started, it was the path not taken. I ended up starting my career working for IBM, but the other path was to go work for Anderson Consulting in Chicago which I decided not to take for complicated reasons. But interestingly, and another connection we have is that one of your former colleagues is a good friend, Linda Swain. I think you probably
I love Linda.
Everybody loves Linda. Linda, I hope you're listening.
Yeah. We'll make sure. I'll tag her in the social media post.
Please do.
Yeah. No, she's a true star and an amazing property marketer.
Yeah, and interesting, a technology marketer earlier on. So she and my co-founder and I worked together at a company called ATG, which is now Oracle Commerce.
I know them.
Good stuff. And for both the people who don't know HCL Tech, it would be great to just set the table. Obviously, global $12 billion public company. Just give people a sense of the scale and how to think about what HCL Tech is all about.
Sure. Peter, I say to many of my friends, it's the $12 billion company that you've probably never heard of. I'm here to change that. We have been around since the mid 70s. Actually, the entity of HCL, which is our parent company, founded by an amazing man named Shiv Nader, who actually was just honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award by the trade association that focuses on India-America relations. And he was just named, I think, in the top 10 most philanthropic individuals in the country of India. Amazing man. It was a true garage startup back in the mid-70s. Used to be a product company, and then he parlayed the company. He spun out HCL Technologies in the late 90s. We started trading on the Indian Stock Exchange, I believe, in December of 1999. And here we are, 20-plus years later, as I said, a $12 billion global technology services and products company. Now, where we focus is around three key areas. At the highest level, I'll tell you, it's digital, cloud, and engineering. But we certainly have our roots in a couple of areas. One is around a heavy focus on engineering, and that is in both asset-intensive industries and asset-light. So think about digital engineering, data engineering that is common in the high-tech industry, but also think about asset-intensive industries, automotive and manufacturing. We've done some of the most amazing product development work since we were born back in the late 90s. We also have a history in infrastructure outsourcing, and that is an area that a lot of the IT services companies that were born out of India, that is where their roots lie. And that is where I knew of HCL Tech when the recruiter called me, because they started to compete against Accenture in the entire category of IT outsourcing and business process outsourcing. But I knew them in a very niche way. And I had an amazing recruiter who helped me understand how much this category has grown in depth and breadth since the early 2000s, or like around 2010, 2012, when I left Accenture. So I am amazed at how much HCL Tech has grown in the area of digital business, applications and development, huge partners in cloud with all of the big hyperscalers and ecosystem players that you would imagine, from Amazon to Microsoft to Google. And then we continue to have a very robust business in that engineering space where our roots lie. And of course, we continue to do business process outsourcing and digital process outsourcing. So we run the gamut. We also acquired a product portfolio from IBM. You may or may not know about that, several years ago. And that is really the foundational portfolio in our HCL software business. So that, in a nutshell, is what we do. And we play in 52 countries with the biggest base of revenue in the U.S., which is about 60% of our revenue.
It's an amazing scale that you've reached. And you're right. It is one of those brands that I knew because I'm a nerd and follow this part of the industry and have a deep understanding for HCL and HCL Technologies, now HCL Tech, just watching this particular space in the industry over the years and certainly admiring the company. But tell me about the the challenge that you had. So you recently went through this brand transformation and went from HCL Technologies to HCL Tech. That obviously is the teeny, teeny tip of the iceberg around what goes underneath that. But tell me what motivated the change and give us a high level view of what you went through in this brand transformation for HCL Tech.
Yeah, without going into too much detail on the front end, but there was a lot of work on the front end. The one thing that added a high degree of complexity to this transformation is the fact that, as I mentioned, HCL is a household name in India, the company of HCL. And HCL Tech, or HCL Technologies, is the largest entity under the HCL portfolio. So in all of the other markets outside India, HCL Technologies just started to become known as HCL because it was easy, right? It's just an easy shorthand. And even though we trade as HCL Tech as our ticker symbol, our website has always been HCL Tech, the US market in particular just started calling us HCL. Now that creates a little bit of a challenge given that there is a website for HCL, the parent entity. There is an amazing founder that I mentioned earlier, Shiv Nader, who founded HCL, which continues to be extremely active in India. And some may have thought, why did you need to change the name? It was because we needed to pay homage to this parent, but also come into our own as we're continuing to grow and develop. And as HCL may also continue to create other entities under its portfolio. So that, as a marketer, just as far as an intellectual challenge, whether you're a marketer or not, it's complex to know that you need to lean into your past, but you also need to create some distance for yourself to lean into the future. And when you've got a wonderful CEO, as I have, who was very close to the marketing team through this whole process, plus a chairperson of the board who also is actively involved. There are a lot of people, maybe there was a little bit of caution at the earliest stages of not wanting to rock the boat too much and get too far away from your heritage. But here I am wanting to have a very modern, forward-facing approach to attract talent. We have a huge number of people who are in the 21 to 30-year-old age bracket. This Gen Z is very important. And wanting to go a little bit fast and a little bit forward, but needing to lean into the history. It was definitely foundationally created a lot of a need for some patience, some intuitiveness, some a lot of data-driven conversations with, as the result of qualitative, quantitative focus group research to help the leaders understand there's a way to do this. There's also a way to maintain a connectivity to HCL. And this is very tactical, but it became very important. We also took the heritage color of blue, which is a color that is associated with strength and security. And we created a gradated color, which is representative of our brand now, that is a gradation from blue to purple. And purple means power and ambition. And that has become the actual primary brand color. We reverse our logo out of a purple-blue gradient. And I have a lot of examples of that, of one foot in the past, which has gotten us to where we are, and one foot into the future. And we ended up not having a mark with our logo. We just have a word mark, HCL Tech. We created our own typeface, which I love. It's hard to find anything nowadays that hasn't been done before, but we've got this really cool tech forward typeface. And it didn't matter that we ended up not going with an actual logo mark because we created such an amazing visual identity around that. So the name change, actually, you're right. It's just one small part of the transformation, but it may have been the most challenging part. We landed on our brand positioning of supercharging progress pretty early in the process of the transformation. It was really just lining everything up and getting everything perfect around the HCL, HCL Tech interplay that ended up maybe protracting this process a bit.
It's really interesting to hear. And I love hearing the context behind the decisions that you made. And that idea of passing the baton and accelerating from there is between the two brands, and the idea of transferring brand value. So you're obviously leveraging significant brand value from HCL. And your goal is to use that as amplifying springboard into the future, which is exciting.
Yeah. And so, we continue to use the HCL logo on our website. You'll see it in the top right-hand corner. It's also on many of our external facing collateral materials. It's just still a part of who we are, and it's how we got here. And yes, that's exactly right.
But it's great because a lot of people don't understand, and hopefully a lot of our listeners do, that the best design comes from a deep understanding of the strategy and what you're trying to accomplish. And it's great that you can give us this inside view into that, how that strategy informed some of those design choices along the way. Yeah. So tell me, just end to end, how long did the process take from someone saying, hey, we should think about this, to actually doing a brand launch?
I was brought in because there was a need for a brand transformation of sorts. I think everybody knew that there was a lot of work to be done. And again, the global CEO was very responsive. He took the lead in finding the right person to come into the organization. So we got started right away in assessing the situation and trying to determine how far we were going to go. And I will tell you, again, a little inside baseball. When I met with a couple of the senior leaders of the brand team, and I started to talk about this point of confusion between HCL and HCL Technologies, I was told, you can't go there. That's one of the sacred cows. You cannot touch that. We're just going to have to live with it. And I said, I don't think I can do my best work unless we can reconcile this particular point. And that effort, I would say we started in October of last year. So probably we started having those conversations about what a transformation might look like and how big are we willing to go? And is it possible to actually have our own logo mark? Or are we going to need to just retain the HCL typeface and add tech to the end of it? There were those kinds of conversations happening. And at the end of the day, with the chairperson and the CEO being so supportive and understanding the art of the possible and what might be holding us back if we didn't go all the way, we went full speed ahead starting late October of last year. And we launched in late September. And honestly, I think we ended up needing every last bit of that time to have to do a complete website overhaul in the process and really change everything. And we're still, of course, we're just at the beginning of the marathon. We didn't change everything. We didn't flip a switch and everything changed overnight. But in earnest, we were working on this for a good 9 or 10.
It's amazing that you got it done in under a year.
I thought so too. I think there were a few months there where it was like, okay, We were in some holding patterns at a few steps along the journey, but at the end, and you probably know that we also secured a deal with MetLife, the Jets, and the Giants, it ended up working out perfectly that we could launch the new brand as well as that new relationship on the same day. It seemed like the stars were aligning. And it really wasn't meant to work out that way, but at the end of the day, it just did. And I think it was a beautiful thing.
It's understanding the complexity of what you have to do, it's amazing. I'll tell you a short story that I went through a challenge at a smaller company at the time. My last company was about $2 billion, but we went through a pretty significant name change, and it was precipitated by the merger. So we acquired a company who had the name Nuance. And the challenge we had is that we're all ready to start planning and engaging on this thing. And then back in the days, this is in the late 2000s, the Department of Justice was very aggressive when it came to pursuing into competitive things. And they thought in our little industry that this might be a problem. So they actually went through and had to go through the whole HSR second request process, which is basically deep investigation of whether you're creating any monopolistic kind of behavior.
Oh my gosh.
And as a result, you can't deal with the other company. So we had to rebrand a company. In the end, we had 6 weeks to rename and re-implement the whole thing. And as a result, and we did it again later, we didn't change the name again, but we did a major rebrand. Took more like a year the second time, and it was much more thoughtful in the process and really focused on getting a deep alignment behind the strategy, and that the best The best brand changes emanate from either a fundamental need or a change in strategy where you're trying to break out and address a new market. You probably had a combination of those things. And I wanted to ask, because I could talk all day about brand transformation things, but I wanted to also ask a little bit about more broadly around the HCL Tech marketing. One of the things at your scale, at $12 billion, that I assume you wake up in the middle of the night worrying about is growth. So how do you find growth, and how do you as a CMO look for opportunities and drive growth on such a large revenue base? Yeah. So growing 10% is adding another $1.2 billion to a $12 billion base. So how do you think about that from your seat, Jill?
Yeah, sure. You're exactly right. At one point, we were named the fastest growing tech company back in probably 2010, 2012. We were growing at a double-digit pace year on year for a number of years, and it is a lot harder now to grow at a double-digit pace. So I'll tell you what is exciting to me. We have gotten to where we are largely off the back of share of wallet growth with our largest customers. Our largest customers tend to be customers for life or for many years, decades so far. And we have a lot of referrals as CIOs move around. There are a lot of word of mouth referrals, and again, a lot of growth within existing accounts. We've had an issue with growth with net new accounts. Why is that? This is completely tied back to our brand. It's completely tied back to what does someone see when they go to when they accidentally go to the HCL website, then they find their way to the HCL Tech website. There was a little bit of a lack of crispness of clarity and communications on that former version of the website, not to mention the UI, UX, et cetera. We're in a much better place today. But we believe that off the back of this brand transformation, we are going to have much more opportunity to have a seat at the table because our brand has finally caught up with the magic that exists inside this organization. We've had amazing successes across all of the analyst reports from all of the reputable analysts that you know, and I'm sure you used to do business with when you were in the tech space. And our rankings are oftentimes upper right quadrant in many cases, especially in the areas of digital and cloud. And I am very excited to do our benchmarking a year post launch and compare that to where we were when I did my last set of quantitative research around unaided, aided consideration, et cetera, about 4 months ago. But I think we are off to the races now, Peter. I think that we have a challenger brand mentality in some cases. I think people have given us a shot off the back of these great references and great analyst rankings. But now our brand is going to help us get a seat at the table. So wait and see. Maybe you'll have me back in a year and I can prove out some of these theories.
Yeah, we'd love to do the long-term test drive on the new brand strategy. I think that would be a lot of fun. So tell me, Jill, if you think about the primary purpose of the brand transformation, is there's a people split between, is it awareness or is it authority? Is it about people need to know who HCL Tech is, or is it about people need to perceive HCL Tech, who they may know, as someone I should be doing business with, or a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. I'm a traditionalist around how I think about the marketing lifecycle. I think about awareness, knowledge, consideration, preference, purchase, loyalty. I don't know if anyone talks in those terms any longer. I think there are slightly different wheels that people use, but awareness, knowledge, and consideration are at the top of the list. And
that's in my book. I'm showing Jill a diagram of my book. I have a very similar life cycle kind of view.
And you said authority. So what do you use?
I think from what I mean in that case is the idea of driving a purchase brand preference at that stage. So that's really the key thing that is, especially if you're dealing in a competitive market like you are. So you're dealing with, I'm sure if you're dealing with very large contracts, as an example, everything has to be competitively bid. And it's not only can we get a seat at the table, but can we win the deal? And in having that right positive association, and it's a win behind your sales when it comes to getting into the decision process at the end of the day.
Yeah. So let me just unpack it a little bit more. The macro level brand awareness play is, of course, it's front and center. It's where we've focused for launch. But everything we're doing is permeating through the entire organization. So not only have we done our brand positioning and purpose, we also launched an employee value proposition, and we're working heavily on our employer brand. And we just launched a strategic deal marketing team that is going to be working closely on must-win deals and taking the best of the positioning, and there's a lot of work that we've done to bring Supercharging Progress to life, to ensure that clearly gets embedded in presentations and RFP responses. And we've also developed we've put a lot of work on this, a whole tone of voice and style guidelines document that helps us write more consistently and clearly. Like, there's so much work that we have done to ensure that this is not just a marketing exercise. This is a real organizational transformation, and it's impacting all parts of the organization, all of the corporate functions from IT to HR, and then very commercially driven with a lot of partnership with the sales organization.
Yeah, imagine, and HCL Tech has tens of thousands of employees, I think. So, hundreds of thousands. I was a digit off. And so tell me just how many new employees do you expect to recruit in the next year, approximately?
I think we are tracking at 5,000 to 10,000 per quarter.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And not only India is our biggest base, but we are growing at a fast clip in Eastern Europe, where we've got a number of key bases, as well as Central and South America. And then, as I mentioned, the U.S. is our largest market, but the growth is happening everywhere.
So understandably, the idea of having a strong employer brand is really important. I'm looking at the time because we don't have enough, because I have so many questions, Jill. So let me ask you a couple of rapid fire questions and see how we do, so I can get as much content squeezed into my short window that I have with you as possible. So first, how would you articulate the marketing strategy of HCL Tech?
Wow. I would say that's a very challenging question.
You know, and I'm sorry, this is mean, because you have the world's most comp
thing. It is, because it's such an intersection of vertical, horizontal, geographic. And so at the most holistic level, I think that I am trying to have a less siloed approach to the way that we are marketing and communicating internally and externally. And I consider myself, even though my title is not marketing and communications, I consider my role, going back to my roots, very much focused on global marketing and communications. So I think setting the North Star, which is heavily related to our new brand positioning around Supercharging Progress and our brand promise, and then making it easier for all of the 500 or so individuals across the marketing organization to understand where they fit into that is front and center. And on the back end of that, I'm trying to build capabilities and communities of practice and centers of excellence to help be the tide that lifts all boats from a MarTech perspective. So I'm trying to build that sandwich where everybody knows the North Star, and then there's great supporting teams that help lift all of the programs running across verticals and horizontals.
Yeah, and I think you have an advantage, Jill, in you just went through this brand transformation, and I suspect that whole idea of supercharging progress is probably a good organizing theme. And the challenge, and especially one of the things I was going to ask you about, is the scale of your team, and you got about 500 people in marketing, and the challenge of organizing a diverse set of marketers who have to do a very diverse set of things is about driving coherence in your strategy. So what is the thing you all wake up and do? And the idea is that I assume they're all trying to figure out what they're doing to help supercharge progress when it comes to HCL Tech and their marketing and the brand overall, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it comes to life in so many different ways, and it's going to look different depending on what role they're playing. But I think having a galvanizing principle is extremely important, and I'm so fortunate to be able to set that and now mobilize accordingly against it.
So what would our listeners find surprising about marketing at HCL Tech?
I would imagine that many of your listeners have not worked at an organization that has the majority of its workforce based in India. And, you know, again, we're in India, we're traded on the Indian Stock Exchange. I have a lot of experience over the last 20 years working with India, both at Accenture and JLL. And I helped start our whole practice in India when I was at JLL. I've traveled to India probably 15, 20 times. The passion of the people, the brilliance of this company, the amazing discipline that my team has. And again, I have people based all over the world, but a lot of my team is based in India. It is so inspiring to me. It's magical to learn more about the culture. And I was looking for this next leg of my journey as my daughter's already in college, my son's about to go to college. I knew I would be traveling more. And for me, it's a reawakening of just learning more about this amazing country and the amazing customs. And we're just coming off of Diwali. I would make a recommendation for anyone if they have a passion for adventure and that spirit of the unknown, of going after the unknown, work with a company that doesn't have the majority of its employees based in the US, and you will personally grow quite a bit. And I have enjoyed it tremendously, and I have so much more yet to come. I love my team so much, and it's just a wonderful organization.
But it sounds amazing, and it makes me kick myself even harder for missing the opportunity. I've actually never traveled to India. My niece just married a great guy who's from India, and they had a wedding in India, and I couldn't go because I was in the middle of selling my company.
I was just told I was going to be invited to a wedding that's taking place next, like February or March. I am so looking forward to it. I hope it happens. Yeah. That's been on my bucket list.
Yeah. In fact, it was originally scheduled during COVID, pre-COVID. And so they had to delay it.
Oh.
And I'd move mountains to be able to make it. And then I couldn't move them a second time. But my penultimate question that I'll ask you is, what's it like being a U.S. North American female executive in a Indian-dominated, male-dominated executive team? How has that been, and how do you navigate that?
Yeah, it's a good question. It is a role that takes someone with, let's see, how do I want to put this? You need to have conviction and sometimes be a little bit more aggressive than you might be if you're not, in some cases, the only woman in the room. I have worked over the past 30 years and sometimes been one or two female in a room of 12 to 15 men. And I think I've just grown accustomed to being in that situation. This is not the first time I've been one or two of 15. I've been asked quite a bit more on the, you're a American woman working with a lot of people of Indian heritage. I love that. I think it's been super interesting for me. But the male versus female, yes, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but D&I is a huge passion area for me. It's something I'm personally aligning with at this organization. We've got work to do. We've done a lot of work, but there's a lot more to go. And yeah, maybe I've had to be a little bit bolder, a little bit stronger, a little bit tougher. But these are all traits that I've groomed over the last 30 years. It's working for me. And I'm okay with it. And I feel very rewarded for being able to navigate some tricky situations at times. Again, it's not unique to this organization. I have similar stories about going through my whole career. But yeah, I had a lot of work to do in the last 15 months that required me to navigate in a brand new company with no, I knew no one ahead of coming here. And I think I've weathered
this. And it was hard to get on a plane to travel to see them.
So, it was. I was tied down for the first few months. But actually, that wasn't that bad either. I thought it was going to be terrible to onboard during COVID, and wasn't as bad as I would have thought.
Unfortunately, we're getting close to the end of our time. I got to about a third of my questions, so you'll have to come back. Maybe we can talk about a year from now the long-term impact of the HCL brand transition, which would be amazing, and I can get to at least some of them. But my last question I wanted to make sure I asked is our favorite one, is what advice would you give to current or aspiring CMOs?
I think I am probably the least likely person that someone would have expected would become the global CMO of an Indian-based organization. So I've got a couple of things. First of all, if you believe you can do it, you will do it. It takes a lot of hard work to get there. I would say build your network. Even if you're at a large global organization today and you feel like you don't even have enough time to network externally, build your network inside that organization. I have so many stories of how I reached out at Accenture and met so many people who ended up becoming instrumental in my career journey there. And if you're on the younger side of your career, take risks, take chances. I've taken a lot of risks throughout my career journey, and make sure they're calculated risks, but just be fearless. And then the final advice is be authentic and don't forget to be nice. I think the world is becoming a little bit too cutthroat. I'm tough when I need to be, but at the end of the day, like, kindness is what drives me. Being transparent and I'm the same person like that you're talking to today in my personal life, in my work life, and having a work hard, play hard mentality is also super important to me. And just don't lose that. But I think anybody can get to where they want to go to if they're thoughtful and disciplined about carving a path to make it happen.
Amazing advice. And I love the network, take risks, be authentic, and be nice. So I guess you can't be authentic if you're not really nice.
Exactly.
That is the only thing. Then don't be too authentic is probably
Then you're not going to make it if you're not nice. I think there's room for not nice people to make it to the top any longer.
I hope that's true. And certainly I can see how you've gotten to this point, Jill. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And I hope you all out there enjoyed the discussion with Jill. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't subscribed so far. Make sure to follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter and all those things. Check out my company at Planna.com, now a Planful company. Very exciting. And thanks. Hope you enjoyed the show and have a great day.
Thank you, Peter.